Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Factory Must Grow, Episode 5. Joining me on the line today is Bold Viking. Bold, where are you joining us from again?
Germany!
Germany.
It's like 5 p.m. over here.
Yeah, you guys are 6 hours ahead, I think, of Eastern, where I am. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Absolutely great. Just had a fun pie stream and can't complain about anything.
Awesome.
Yet.
Well, that's always a good thing. So today on the cast, we'll start with another mod spotlight. As usual, we'll discuss the recent Factorio Friday facts, and then we'll dive into some questions with Bold, specifically about Pyanodons, which is easily the hardest mod pack for Factorio. So there's a lot of interesting discussion to be had around that one. But first, we'll start with the spotlight. Today, I'm going to spotlight a pretty simple one. It's a quality of life mod that I personally can't live without anymore, which is Pipe Visualizer by Rygaard. Another one by Rygaard. Yep, he's the guy that's now employed by Woob. He made this mod about 2 years ago. It's got 66,000 downloads. And what it does is it allows you to hover over a pipe system and see what it's connected to. And so you can select a visualize all pipes mode, which allows you to essentially see what all of the connections are going to, as well as different colors for each type of fluid. So the, you know, sulfuric acid is going to be yellow, whereas the crude oil will be black. So you can easily sort out all of your pipes. There's also a mouse over mode, so you can just see pipes that you hover over, or any, and even highlights the buildings too that those pipes go into. My favorite one, though, is one I learned about recently, which is a visualize pipes mode, and or a sticky visualizer. And what that allows you to do is you can hit H over a pipe, and it will kind of keep that pipe system on the screen, but none of the other ones. And so you can just focus on one specific connection that you're trying to figure out over the course of, you know, your entire base. Like recently in my Pyanodons run, I was trying to figure out where is the steam going? Because steam is going everywhere. And so I would hit H on my steam pipe, and then I could easily see what it's connected to and what it's not, where the one-way pipes are and such. So that's really helpful. I find it pretty invaluable. Now, Bold, I know you have a little bit of a different approach to quality of life mods. You don't have
what
them.
What is the quality of life you talk about?
Exactly.
Just build better bases, man.
Just build better bases, exactly. But we'll chat a little bit more about your lack of quality of life mods later. For now, I wanted to get a little bit into the Factorio Friday facts. Did you read those, Bold, or have you not caught up with them yet?
I'm reading them every Friday, of course, because, Factorio is an amazing game. I mean,
yes.
You have to write them. Also, there seems to be a protest going on in front of my window. Well, it'll be fine. Enjoy the wedding bells over there. I hope you don't hear them.
only faintly. But so one of the interesting things that they recently talked about was the new music. And I talked about that a little bit in the last Friday Facts. But in this one, they talked about automating the soundtrack, which I thought was really interesting. And so they kind of outlined a process where they, I don't know, how would you describe it, Bold? They kind of splice together different samples, but in a way that's not consistent?
Yes, because they more or less try to generate it as they go. I mean, it's a topic I've also been thinking about in the past, because I'm still thinking about adding more music to my own stream. And I was more or less thinking about doing something where I would just get multiple tracks which overlay perfectly, and then just switch around between them depending on the situation. That's one way how you could do it. I mean, if you just got music that hooks together perfectly fine, you could do something like that. But what they're doing in Factorio themselves is that they're more or less trying to, depending on the situation, to change it a little bit more dynamically, which could be fun. I'm looking forward to it, definitely.
Yeah, that's really interesting to me. One thing that I noticed, you can go to the Friday Facts, it'll be in the show notes, and listen to some of the tracks that they share. The first one, it sounded cool, but one thing that I noticed, and someone on Reddit also pointed out in the comments, was that because there's no discernible long-term pattern, it can almost be a little bit confusing, because, you know, like, in a lot of tracks, you start to vibe with it, right? You learn the beat, you learn what notes are when, you learn the melody, And so you start to kind of get a feel for it. But with these randomized, it's always kind of keeping you on your toes because it's always changing up, like, oh, instead of this bass riff, we're going to do a different bass riff. Or instead of this melody that kind of goes up, it's going to be a similar melody, but it goes down. And so I wonder, I don't know, if it's almost going to be like weirdly dissonant. Maybe that's not the right word because the notes will work. But yeah, I don't know.
It could be weird because if you think about how people enjoy music, the thing that people enjoy most about the music is that they recognize it again. And that's where the enjoyment comes from. Like exactly. If you hear a song and you already know how it goes, you go like, yeah, that's my beat. That could, of course, be an issue with how they try to do it. But then again, I'm pretty sure that there's only going to be like only a finite amount of variations they're going to have. Right. So it should be fine, in my opinion. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting approach.
The other thing I noticed is that they mentioned they'll play in between the main tracks. These, like, what did they call them? Variable music tracks is what they called them. And so they'll play in between.
AI, but they didn't play that card.
yeah, exactly. So one other thing they get into, you know, and I'm not going to dive into all of this in the podcast, but they get into some of the technical challenges of figuring that out. And I highly recommend you go and check it out because it's really cool to read. I understood about half of it, which still was very interesting. But they even talk about how, like, you know, the 60 updates per second that the game has is a spacing of 16 and a half milliseconds or so. But their music sampling happens at about 11 milliseconds. And so they had to figure out some like buffering and queuing for the music so that there wouldn't be little like half a millisecond breaks in the sound and stuff like that. So that was kind of cool to read about, but you know, nothing that will really affect the end user. Of course, the end result will be great music, and that's what's important.
If the game will be running at 60 FPS, that is. I mean, there are certain bases out there that are running at less.
that is a good point. Yeah, exactly. And so I wonder also if, you know, they have that taken into account. I'm sure they have, but because I've never really had a base that goes much slower. I think once I got under 60 FPS, but it wasn't very much. It was like 58 or, you know, it was way up there. Didn't get down to 30 like you did.
Yeah, and the old Pi base, that was definitely going under 30, even under 25 at points. It was.
Yeah, exactly. A couple FAQ questions they answered towards the bottom. They mentioned that when you're in remote view with the music, it will switch based on what surface you're looking at. So if I'm on Nauvis and then I go look at Vulcanus, it will switch the music track to a Vulcanus track. And they mentioned not having a fade in and out. They mentioned that's possible. And a lot of people in the comments were saying, yeah, we definitely want to fade in and out. It'll be a little weird to have it kind of going back and forth. So we'll see. I'm sure whatever they go with will work out well. They also talk about a music controller that's in the hidden settings where you can kind of like pause, go to next track, go to previous track. But there's nothing more complex that they're going to add in. Something like, I know Command & Conquer had a music controller where you could select tracks that would never play. Oh, yes. Or kind of make your own playlist in the game. And I'm sure there will be a mod that does that because they said there's lots of modding control.
I remember that old Command & Conquer interface. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So yeah, that's pretty much all there is, I have to say. One more thing they mentioned is that they'll sell the soundtrack, you know, if you're interested in purchasing it. And this one will be much larger, obviously, with at least 5 hours of music of the non-variable tracks. And I don't know if they're going to put any variable tracks or not in that, but it'll definitely be a lot of music. And from what we've heard so far, it sounds pretty cool. So I'm excited to kind of hear the music once it's released. But yeah, on to the main topic, because Bold, we've got you here, and that is a special treat. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Where are you from?
Oh, I'm Bold. I'm from Germany. I've been playing Factorio for, when did it come out? 10 years ago, something like that. Way too long. And I just enjoy myself on Twitch because I needed something else to do.
Yeah, so how'd you get into Factorio and the automation genre? Like, why did it pull you in?
I think the first time I really got pulled into it was because I was watching a YouTube stream, not really a stream, a YouTube video back then, done by Arumba and Stijo. If anyone remembers them, they're both still doing content, but they kind of moved on to different topics now. And it seemed like a lot of fun. And then I downloaded the game, and then weeks went on, and I was never seen again until I came out of my PC cave and was like, yes, this is a fun game.
Yep. Yeah, I remember downloading the demo the first time, and I was just blown away. I was like, this is the game. This is the game I've been waiting for my whole life that never existed until now.
And back then, it was mainly Bobs and Angels, but I was playing quite a bit. And back then, I was like, oh, this is complicated. Yeah.
Exactly.
Did you know about Pi back then?
Yep, Pi was not a thing yet. So what do you do apart from, you know, the insane mod packs that you play? Is it full-time streaming? Do you have some other work on the side?
I'm more or less full-time employed. I'm a senior software developer, embedded software developer. So I work more or less 40 hours a week, and then 20 hours a week on top of that, I stream.
That's a busy world. I don't know where you find time for sleeping and eating.
Me neither.
Problems to be solved later, right? That's tomorrow's problem.
Yes. I mean, I also did YouTube content in the past as well, but I did really notice that I don't have enough time for that. I mean, I was recording like YouTube videos in my lunch breaks, and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, you got to care for yourself at some point.
This doesn't go well, so I sadly had to drop those. I do want to get back to them at some point in time, if maybe some other circumstances change, but we will see about that.
Makes sense. So in Factorio, you know, you've mentioned playing mod packs, and you know, for the viewers that don't know, Bold Viking, a few years ago, how many years ago was it that you started your first Pi run, your Pianodons run?
I think 4 years ago, 3 years ago. Usually my Twitch chat over here helps.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll chime in. But yeah, so Pianodons is essentially just to give people a little background for those who don't know, in Pianodons, you have an absurd amount of recipes. You know, Vanilla Factorio has maybe around 100 recipes. I don't actually know. I haven't counted. But, you know, it's very manageable. You can memorize all of them after you've played the game a few times. There's really not a ton of complexity to them. Most things only require one, two, or three ingredients. A few of them require more. And Pianodons is, like, just going to laugh at that. Because not only are there recipes that literally require 15 or 20 ingredients, different ingredients for the same recipe, but there's hundreds, and I think it's probably like over 500 or 600 separate buildings that all do different things that can make different recipes. And those buildings, most of them have four different tiers that you can build them in. And so, and there's over, I think, 10 or 20,000 recipes. Like last time I heard, I think it's somewhere in between 10 and 20,000. So it's
pretty
crazy.
But that's probably if you count all the ash recipes, which you don't need, because you can burn every product to ash.
Yeah, there's a lot of voiding things. And there's a lot of new mechanics. And so Pianodons isn't just complexity for the sake of complexity. They add a ton of new mechanics. The alien life part of PyMods adds in this really cool system of plants and animals, and you have to like kind of breed them and reproduce them, and you have to make them almost using like gene splicing to get the first few, and then you have to, you know, get more and more and more, and then eventually you can mass produce them and their byproducts. And then speaking of byproducts, a lot of Factorio mods have you handling byproducts. Vanilla Factorio, really the only thing they do is advanced oil cracking, where, you know, you might have heavy oil that you don't have anything to do with, and you have to do something with it, because if you don't do something with it, it'll block up your light oil and petroleum production. And in Pianodons, that's almost everything, is making some other thing that you have to deal with. And if you don't deal with it, it'll block the thing you're trying to produce. So Pianodons is crazy. It is a massive undertaking. I mean, as far as I know, unless people are speedrunning, it's always taken people at least 1,000 hours to beat. So why did you choose Pianodons of all things?
That's a good question. I remember when I finished up my Bobs and Angels playthrough, probably 5 years ago, that I was like, all right, what's going to be the next big mod pack we're going to be picking? And I was like, I didn't really want to do space exploration back then, and I didn't really want to do K2, and I was like, let's just do Pi. And then I just went with it, and I just started to enjoy it, because it was so entirely different. It was more complicated than anything I was used to. And back then, I already thought I was a good Factorio player, but no. That first Pi run changed everything. Absolutely everything. And even after the first Pi run, after I completed it, I still changed everything, because I now make my second Pi run built differently from things I learned in the first Pi run. And probably there will most likely be a third Pi run at some point in time. I will still be doing things even more differently, because you just keep on learning and you keep on improving what you need to do.
Totally.
And that's the fun part. That's the real fun part. Making terrible builds.
Yes, and then hopefully making them less terrible at some point. What did you find appealing about Pynodons over maybe some of the do you find just the length appealing? Is it the fact that it's a really long mod that isn't, you're not just going to beat it in 50 hours? Is that part of why you like it?
Not really. I mean, I'm used to playing long games usually. I mean, even if you play Dungeons & Dragons or something like that. I mean, a game of Dungeons & Dragons, a session might be done in like a couple of hours, but a campaign in Dungeons & Dragons, that's going to take you like a year. Two. And I used to be a game master back in the day when I had a little bit more time, especially during university, where I was writing my own adventures, which was a lot of fun. But it also took a lot of time. And I guess once I stopped doing that, I got into Pi. And, well, it fills a good void because you're basically building these big, big things in Pyanodons. It's always like you're not only doing ore processing, like you're not just smelting iron ore into iron plates. You're going to have to crack it, you're going to have to sort it, you're going to have to wash it, you're going to have to crush it again, and the chain goes on. The chain is pretty, pretty extensive, and once you set that entire thing up with a near-perfect ratio, because a perfect ratio never works, then you have this massively looking, amazing machine that you just look at and you go like, oof, this is amazing.
Yeah, completely. There's nothing more satisfying than finishing an entire processing chain and then watching it start to work and everything works the way you hoped it would. That always feels really good. Half the time it doesn't work the way you hoped it would, but either way, it does feel really good to complete those things. What gives you the patience for Pynodons? Because a lot of players, I would say probably 90%, you know, based on just being around the Reddit and the Discords and such, I think most people quit long before they beat Pynodons. What gives you the patience to keep going or the motivation to keep going?
Probably a pod commitment, because if I would have bought it now, it would be an even more waste of time.
So it's the sunk cost fallacy?
More or less.
Yeah. I've already put 400 hours in, so I can't quit now.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the more wasteful waste, in my opinion. I mean, even if I'm only going to do it maybe like once a week, okay, we're now doing it more per week because we kind of want to get done before 2.0 comes out. But still, you just see the thing still grow in small ways, and you still shape it, and you still care for it. And at some point in time, you're done with it. And then if you're going to be done with it, you want to be really done with it. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I like the idea of like shaping it almost like it's a little plant. I've been recently saying a bunch in my Pynodons videos, and for those who are only watching one or the other, I am not anywhere near as far as Bold. I'm still under 100 hours in, which is really not even the early game. It's like the tutorial almost.
What science are you at right now?
I am getting closer to green science, logistic science. Yeah, exactly. So all that to say, one thing I've been kind of saying to myself and to my viewers over and over again is like, look, as long as I'm doing something, something will get done. And eventually, if you do enough somethings, the big things get done, and you do a lot of those, and you beat the pack. And so really, with these longer packs, I see a lot of people post about this in the Factorio Reddit as well. It's a problem not just with Pynodons, but even with the easier mod packs like Bob's Angels and even Vanilla Factorio. I see people talking about, I get burnt out once I get to oil processing, or there's too much and I get overwhelmed and it feels like I can't handle it, so I just start a new map. And one thing that's helped me with this exact thing is to just remember, as long as you're doing something, as long as you're taking steps forward, you're going to be making progress. There's really no such thing as backwards progress in Factorio, you know, unless you count biters eating your base or things like that. You can't really move backwards. As long as something's automated, even if it's crappy, it's going to get you closer to a better build next time, a better, you know, the next step of processing. And so really it is about, not necessarily, if you zoom out too much and try to look at the whole picture, sometimes you get a little overwhelmed and you get a little lost. You know, you're looking at the mountain that you have to hike and it's just too much. But yeah, if you just kind of focus on where your feet are and I just take the next step in front of me, I think that can help a lot to keep going. And I myself struggle with this. You know, there's a little bit of like, when I look at how much I have to do to get red circuits in Pynodons, I'm like, oh God. And I like, it's just too much. But then if you just do the next thing, you'll get there eventually. So Yeah, one thing you mentioned is trying to get Pynodons done before Space Age. How many hours are you into your current Pynodons run?
I think 1,700. Let me boot it up real quick. I can tell you like in a couple seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, definitely already past 1,800, I think.
Wow.
Maybe even already past 1,900 hours. But then again, I also do sometimes let the game run while I'm at work in the background, when I just want to wait for like some buffers to back up again or to fill up again.
Yeah,
As that is a big issue with every big mega base. Let me just turn the sound off real quick. So, there we go.
And are you playing with biters on in your current playthrough or not?
Yes, but the biters are set to the utmost minimal settings.
Okay.
Which means all the sliders are more or less to the minimum, and but migration is on. But like I said, I do want biters to be on the map, mostly because I need something that keeps me in my place, that keeps me on my toes, but I don't really want that many biters on the map that it's going to be a chore that I have to do all the time. And I think the settings I currently have are amazing for that, because whenever I need to expand, I just need to go out there and just defeat a couple of them, and then I'm going to be good. So every expansion hurts a bit, but not too much, because the pack already hurts enough.
Right.
And actually,
right.
Wait a minute, playtime is 1,383 hours. I was completely wrong on that.
Okay, it's so about 1,400. Still, yeah, that's what, 50, 60, 60 days or something like that? That's a lot.
That's full days, not work days.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's 180 work days if you're counting 8-hour Factorio shifts. Which is that's a lot.
Almost a full work year, almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Weekends don't exist.
Yeah. Oof. Man, that's
and
awesome.
And also, the science counter says 45.4% science done. So
wow.
Almost halfway.
That's impressive. I'm excited to see if you can get that done before Space Age, which sounds like it might be coming in October. I forget if I mentioned this in the last podcast, but there was an unofficial official statement by one of the Factorio devs in an interview where he said October at the latest. And so we'll see. Hopefully that remains true. And we have a little bit of a hope that it'll be here in less than 6 months. So.
Yeah, but so October will come faster than you might think. But at latest, yes. I mean, if they're going to already aim for October, it's probably going to be October because nobody releases early. Nobody.
yeah, exactly. They're going to take all the time to make sure that everything's perfect. And that's one thing I do trust from Woob is that they're going to make sure everything's polished and perfect. So I do think it's going to feel very nice to have a game release, and it's going to be in great condition and mostly bug-free. You know, nothing's perfect, but compared to what other AAA studios do these days. And yeah, I think it'll be a very good release in October. One other question I had is just kind of with Pynodons, what do you like about the Pi pack? Mainly in comparison to other Factorio mod packs. What makes it unique and what do you like about it?
The thing I like the most about Pynodons is all the buildings. Like there's so many custom buildings in it, and every time you build parts of the base, they always look completely different than other parts. Even the ore processing, even though most of the time it's still crushing, sorting, and then doing something else with it, even those look entirely different because the recipes are not similar. They're all different recipes for different ores in different ways you need to process them, and they're all attached more or less to processes you find in real life as well. Not too accurate, because there's also this meme going along in the Pi Discord thing about like don't think too real about it because then you lose fun, which makes sense.
Yep.
But close enough that it is fun enough.
Yeah.
And all those real war processes are amazing. I mean it's interesting to see what needs to be done to get to that point. And it's still a very, very, very simplified version of that, because if you really think into ores, there are so many ores out there.
Totally. I like that realism as well. And I think it adds a little bit of spice to the enjoyment of the game to know that, hey, what I'm doing is at least approximating what actually happens in real life. What's interesting about Pi is it blends kind of the sci-fi of these crazy animals that don't exist with real world processing of metals, along with some metals that don't exist, you know, like Nexalit and stuff. So I like that Pi kind of blends the real and the unreal in a way that feels all together, it feels real for the factorial world. It feels very reasonable, you know, that something like the Pi world could exist. And it's not just kind of abstracting a bunch of stuff, but it's like, no, you actually have to crush this ore and then you have to electrolyze it. And then after you electrolyze it, you got to pulp it together with these other products. And then after that, you can start to crystallize things. And it's this crazy process. One thing you mentioned is all the different buildings. And do you find that the art is a big deal for you? Like, do you, the Pi art, or do you kind of just not care?
I mean, the Pi art is important in my point. That's part of the thing why things look so impressive. I mean, all the farms look amazing with all the different animals on it. Even the buildings with the animations, even some of them are a bit bugged, look great. The only downside I see about the Pi art is that the buildings are usually a little bit too big and you can hide stuff behind it, which we also had just in the stream before where we just missed the connection for like the barrel pump because, well, we didn't see it. That's the only annoying part. That's the only really, really annoying part about the graphics, that they're sometimes just too big and you just miss it.
Totally. Yeah. The buildings are massive and sometimes the overhang behind them is pretty big. I find that the art is such a big deal for me. The Pionodon's art is so good. It's a different style. You know, some people look at things like Industrial Revolution 3 and they say that's the best. Some people look at, what's the other one? I feel like Bob's Angels, specifically the Angels side of things, is very good. But Pionodon's has such a unique style and I think it's so realistic and just good looking. And yeah, and like I said earlier, there's hundreds of different buildings and all of them have unique art. And these are large buildings. They're not just little 3x3 assembler size buildings. Some of them are 23x23 size buildings. So if you think about the amount of pixels that you have to design and the sprites and the animations, it's absolutely insane what Pi has done with the art.
The only thing you have to add to that is that the Pi art is sometimes a bit low res, but that makes sense because if you've got that many arts in there, it's going to eat a bit GPU memory. I mean, at this moment already, it's eating up 10 gigabytes of my graphics card where I just go like, what? Excuse me?
Exactly, yeah. And I know for some people, they actually have issues with running the sprite sheets and you have to change one of the settings, I think, to like medium for the sprite atlas instead of large, and that can help some people from stuttering. But yeah, it's an absurd amount of sprites. One thing I was thinking about when you were talking about the ore processing chains that I want to hit on for Pionodons for people, because a lot of people have played Bob's Angels, or at least they've watched someone play it, and that kind of is more of, especially since it's older, it was the gold standard for a long time in terms of overhaul mods. But one thing with Bob's Angels is the ore processing is pretty much exactly the same for every single ore. And so you end up setting up the same chain where you crush the ore, then you turn it into pellets, and then you take those pellets and you put it into the induction smelter to melt it down into a molten. Sometimes you combine it with one other ingredient first, but you end up with only one or two differences between every single ore chain. And you're doing the same build, you know, I don't remember how many ores there are, 15 or 20 in Bob's Angels, and that gets pretty repetitive. And so I find that Pionodons is really refreshing because every single ore chain is completely different. Like Bold was saying, you're not just doing the same process. Yes, you do often crush it, but then even which crushers, there's different types of crushers and there's different types of sorters and there's different types of screeners and what order you do those things in and what byproducts it creates, they're all different. And so you really are designing the build pretty much from the ground up every single time. It's not like you can copy your iron build and use that for copper. That's really never a thing. And that's one thing that I really like about Pionodons is no build feels the same.
The one thing I really enjoyed about Angels was actually the metallurgy part, where basically you end up with all kinds of ingots for all the base metals. And then after that, before you smelt it, for example, into iron or in steel, you mix and match those ingots again, which was a great part in Angels. And that's a part, well, you do have that in Pi with all of the alloys now. But you didn't really have it like on the level as in Angels, where you had like manganese and stuff like that, where you then just add it to your iron to make more iron out of it, or to turn it into steel and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, specifically the angels, the final part of the ore processing was cool. I did like all the ingots. It was cool that you could combine different ingots to alloy. And some of the alloys, I also found it interesting in angels, you could only alloy them after they were a liquid, whereas some of them you could melt together the different ingots and alloy them at the ingot stage. And I always thought that was interesting too. Okay, so we talked about some of the great parts about Pionidons. What do you not love about Pionidons? What's bothering you these days?
Hot air.
Hot air.
Why is it so hard to make hot air? Good God!
Yeah, you'd think with enough electricity you could make some hot air, right?
Yes. I mean, if it would be clean hot air, I would understand why it needs to be so complicated. But yeah, for some reason, the hot air chain is this really, really weird thing that they set up where you need to make hot air, which you then use to heat up bricks. And then you get colder hot air, which you then need to heat up the lower tier bricks to make them not heat up immediately. It's super weird, man.
Yeah, it is weird. Once
you wrap your head around it, it's actually pretty easy and pretty straightforward, but getting there is always like, why?
Yeah, you use the hottest thing to heat up the almost hottest brick, and then the air that heated up the hottest brick is now a little bit cooler, so then you heat up the next coolest brick from there, and you kind of, it's almost like a reverse stair step where you have bricks going from, you know, room temperature to like stage 3 or 4 hotness, and you have the coke oven gas that you're getting going from stage 4 hotness down to stage 0, and you got to like stair step both of them, one of them backwards. It's very interesting. I definitely am glad that they got rid of the old recipe though, where you could just destroy bricks to make hot air. That was a weird one. So I'm glad that one's gone at least.
Is it?
It is, yes. I promise it's gone. If it still existed, I would be using it a lot. So one thing I noticed, you know, we've talked a lot about how hard Pionidons is and how you've been playing Pionidons. I noticed you're also playing Greg Tech New Horizons. Tell us, Bold, why do you hate yourself?
Because flagellation costs money and playing Greg Tech does not cost any money or injury, so... Yes.
Fair enough.
I mean, Greg Tech is different. I mean, I'm playing Greg Tech more as an idle game, if you think about it, because it's running on the server, and then you just set something up that's automated, and you just let it run, and then you come back to it, and of course it failed because you forgot something, and then you come back to it again, and then you just tweak at it. It's more like this more enjoyable cooldown game, more or less, which I need to play to not play Factorio. Because if I were to be playing Factorio, even on my cooldown days, I would be going completely bananas, probably.
Yeah, and for those viewers who know what Greg Tech New Horizons is, they're going to be listening to you saying, wait, Greg Tech New Horizons is your cooldown game? and I think that helps you realize what Pionidons is. I think a lot of people do actually compare those two. You know, for people coming from the Minecraft world, it's like, okay, Pionidons is the Greg Tech New Horizons of Factorio and vice versa, because they're just such huge packs. It's crazy.
But the fun part about Greg Tech is, or at least about Minecraft, in my opinion, it's just like playing with Legos, in my opinion. It's just stick blocks together, and it's just a lot of fun. It's always fun to stick blocks together. And then you build something big and stupid, and you go like, yes, that's my big and stupid.
Yeah, exactly. There's a sense of pride when you're looking at your base, even if it's a hodgepodge mess. Do you find, I'm curious, with Minecraft, do you ever... Or not do you ever, but just how much do you care about making things look nice? Like, do you build buildings with roofs, or do you just slap everything wherever it fits and go full spaghetti? What's your vibe?
In Minecraft, I do care more about it because you are more immersed into the world, because you do kind of want to see a nice building where all your factories are housed. In Factorio, I don't care. In Factorio, my opinion is always like, the belt doesn't know it's crooked, the belt doesn't know it's spaghetti, the belt only needs to do one thing, bring stuff from A to B, and that's fine.
Yep. Yeah, I find that I'm pretty similar. I don't do a great job with aesthetics, but I do care more about them in games like Minecraft, or Satisfactory is another example, where you're immersed in that 3D world. You're actually traversing your factory. And that's part of the interestingness in Satisfactory and Minecraft, is that you have to build your base in such a way that you can get around your base easily. And that's not really a thing in Factorio, especially once you get, you know, vehicles like Spidertrons or jetpacks or things like that. You really just can almost teleport around.
Or even if you're at the bot stage. I mean, as soon as you're in the bot stage, you can basically get your garden chair out, sit in it, and go.
Yeah, exactly. You can just crack open a cold one on the beach. Yep. And so, yeah, I think that with the aesthetics, it is interesting how Factorio kind of, by nature, with the 2D top-down and not really having different Z levels, it really does kind of make it so that aesthetics are really just that. They are far more just aesthetics, and it's not like you're combining aesthetics with functionality, which is where games like Minecraft or Satisfactory, how you build it actually changes how you can get around it and where the items can travel. You know, if you build two different things on two different floors, that changes the logistics of how you move those items. Whereas in Factorio, everything's on one floor and you really are going to get an item from point A to point B the same way, no matter where you put it. There are underground belts, of course, but that's really the only thing. Soon there will be a second level of trains, though, which will be fun.
Yes, and then the big question will be overhead or underhead trains, because the same as left-hand traffic and right-hand traffic, people will be like, trains on the ground or in the air?
Exactly, yeah.
Trains in the air.
Yeah, my plan is to put them in the air all the time, because why not? Then I don't get hit by them if I'm running over the track or under the tracks.
Would be funny to see if you can get hit by the trains if you fly around with your jetpack or something like that. I do know that there's this fun bug in space exploration that when you go into the rocket and you take off in the rocket, you can hit the train if it passes.
Oh, really? That's funny. I didn't know that. So one question that I have is, would you recommend Pyanodons to, you know, our listeners or viewers?
Viewers, start running now. I mean, I can definitely recommend it. I mean, if you want to try it out and get yourself like a big challenging build or something like that, do try play Pyanodons. Like I said, I've learned so much more about Factorio while playing Pi than I've been learning when I was learning about Factorio when I was doing Angels and Bobs, because the issues you're going to get when you're building big builds in Pi are not things that you're going to get when you build Angels and Bobs. And Angels and Bobs, you could technically probably just easily main bus even, where you just go like, here, make a big main bus, hook everything together, things come out at the end, and you're done. A main bus is not possible in Pi. Definitely. Well, you can. It's going to look super weird, but you can, but it's going to be weird, man.
It would be thousands of belts wide.
Yep.
I think you'd need a next-gen PC to be able to handle a main bus in Pi.
Not only that, it would be going left and right at the same time, because recipes also change, and then you get like new dependencies, which need to go the other way again.
Yeah, it would need to be an up-and-down kind of bus where you can send items backwards or forwards. It would be a mess.
Yeah.
So with the recommending thing, you know, you and I diverge a bit in how many quality of life mods we use. I believe you use one, zero?
Let's see, what do I have? I've got like the copy paste module one. That's probably a quality of life one, way when you learn like shift left click and shift right click the recipes around and they got modules in them, they get copied over.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice addition. That should be in the base game, in my opinion. Then we got the jetpack. we got some stuff that changes like how things look, but that's not really quality of life. That's just how things look, cosmetics. And then the module insert, I think, is the only one I've made.
Okay, so maybe just two if you count jetpacks and the module inserter. Wow.
Yes.
Whereas I probably have about 40 or maybe 50. I don't know. I'd have to count them. One thing I would recommend.
Landfill Plus is in there where we can pick up landfill again. I actually got the whole list over here.
Okay.
Landfill Plus is in there. Copy paste modules. Blueprint Signals. That's a very good one. I can highly recommend Blueprint Signals, which allows you to take a blueprint and turn it into a single combinator that you then have as signals, which you could use for automated constructing and stuff like that.
Right.
Then the blueprint tools are in there as well. We do have a task list. We never use it. Resource highlighter, which we occasionally use. Of course, things to look up recipes, FNEI, recipe book in there. And then the blueprint tools, which are also really, really good. And there's one more in there, which is called Realistic Decoration Cleanup, which just takes care of like plants that are growing everywhere when you put stuff down, because then the base looks a bit cleaner.
Right, right.
And the only thing that's actually called Quality of Life is the Quality of Life Research, which just gives you some research targets, which will give you like more inventory size and stuff like that. But that's basically it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I have quality of life research as well. One that definitely is important if you as a listener are interested in Pynodons is FNEI or Recipe Book. You would not really be able to play Pi without it. You need to be able to see what makes what and what uses what and what's used in what, and you know, the base ability to do that in the tech tree and the inventory is just not good enough. So that one is almost required. Everything else, not so much. One mod that you guys will find very much missing from Bold Vikings list is a factory planner type mod. He doesn't have factory planner. He doesn't have hell mod. He doesn't use YaffC, which is yet another factorial calculator, which is a external software program. How do you get by without using any of those?
I just crunch the numbers.
He crunches the numbers. And so do you tend to build smaller kind of builds at a time because of that? Because you can't, you know, obviously, like, at some point, you can't keep it all in your head.
Now, I mean, the build process is usually quite simple. I mean, for example, any kind of ore processing, you just start off with, like, the first building, and then you just look at how many you need to get the recipe down to 1 per second. And then you go to the next stage of the craft, and then you go again onto the level of 1 per second crafts. And then you just mix and match them together, or you make pairs together where you then make blocks. Basically, I just split the whole recipe into multiple groups of two and then try to balance those multiple groups of two to make a perfect ratio, or assuming it's going to be a perfect ratio. And then after that, you go to the next level and group those pairs together again. And then you reach at some point in time the final build, and then you can more or less see what you need. And you can easily do that with ghosts. I mean, you just put like some ghosts down of the buildings that you need. You figure out the ratio, just shuffle things together until you got it together. And then once you got it all shuffled together, you got the ratio in front of you, and then you can make decisions if you want to cut out some buildings or maybe move some stuff around that it fits better. And then you get to it.
Yeah. Do you use max rate calculator or rate calculator?
No.
So you're doing the math of like looking at the recipe in FNEI and seeing, okay, it produces 5 every 3 seconds. So that's really like 1 2/3 per second.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, usually when you've got something that produces like, say, 1 every 3 seconds, you put 3 machines down, that's going to make it 1 per second. And then the next machine that requires it, that goes to like, I mean, may need like 2 every other second or 1 every 2 seconds. So you put down 2 of them, so you get it to 1 per second. And then you got your natural 2-to-2 ratio, and you're done. And then you move to the next step.
yeah, that works. That works. That it is, it's interesting because, as far as, I mean, I'm sure other people play that way too, but most of what I read about, at least in the Discord and on Reddit, is people using factory planner mods, even for far simpler, you know, applications than Pynodons. And as far as I know, you're the only person who plays Pynodons without using any of those tools. So it's just really interesting to hear from you kind of like how your process works, because I think a lot of us are like, what? How do you not? And I think some of it is you're more comfortable with things either not being perfect or maybe overbuilding sometimes. I think a lot of people are wanting to not have any waste. And so they're like, well, I don't want to build too many of this thing, and so I'll just make sure to plan out the perfect ratios. And like you've said, in Pynodons, the perfect ratio often isn't attainable anyway.
Especially once you get to production modules and then things just go completely out of whack.
Right, right. Because then you've got an extra 8% on this step, which has maybe 3 or 4 steps before it gets here. So that one ends up being, you know, maybe boosted by 50% by the time it gets to the recipe you're looking at. And the other thing only has one layer of productivity. And so you've got all the different multiples going on. Yeah, it's a big mess.
Yes. And also sometimes you just take the trade off, because sometimes you got like something like a 5-to-9 ratio or something like that. And you go like, 5-to-9. Oh, that makes no sense. Just turn it into 4-to-8 and you're fine.
Yeah, exactly. 1-to-2 is the same as 5-to-9, right? Close enough.
More or less.
Yeah. Yeah. And close enough, you know, in quotes, as well as good enough in quotes, is very much a necessary attitude in Pynodons. I think, you know, what do they say? Perfection is the enemy of good enough. Perfect is the enemy of good enough.
Every perfect machine breaks the moment something changes, and things change quite often. In fact, in Pyanodons, you get a new recipe or something like that, and suddenly that perfect machine you've spent hours in making doesn't work no more. It's immediately broken.
Exactly.
So if you just make something that is robust and just does the thing, and you're fine. Now, one thing you do have to keep in mind, I mean, making an assumption like 5 to 9 is almost 1 to 2. That works for one layer, but if you've got like 8 layers, that small assumption can have repercussions down the line, so you should be careful with those decisions.
Yep.
It's
and
the same
usually,
with plot lots, just in reverse. Like,
yeah. And that's where overbuilding rather than underbuilding is always a good thing.
Yeah. Like, if you've got a fraction, just add one more and you're fine. And that one building at the end, well, it will not work all the time, so be it.
Yeah. One other thing, you know, that you said that sparked a thought about Pyanodons that a lot of people don't either know about Pyanodons that I think they would really like. One of the aspects that gives you more productivity in Pyanodons is not just productivity modules, but often as you go throughout the tech tree, you unlock new recipes that make the same product and they're way more complicated, but overall it's a much more efficient recipe. So something like iron plates is a good example. You start out and you can smelt 8 iron ore into 1 plate. It's a horrible ratio. But once you get the first science pack unlocked, you can do a research, and it unlocks the ability to throw the iron ore into a crusher, and then you have processed iron ore, and that ends up giving you a ratio that's much closer to, I think, 5 to 1, 5 iron ore to a plate or something like that. And
5 to 1.
Yeah, and then in the next science pack, you gain the ability to start using some melting processes and use molten iron, and then again, you get more plates per iron ore for the work that you have to put into it of adding more buildings, and sometimes you have to add in like catalysts, or you have to use sand casting, or you know, what have you. And this applies to more than just the ore recipes. It really applies to a lot of the animal recipes and plant recipes. There's a lot of different things in Pyanodons where you really get to progress how you make something as you go throughout the game. So you're not just building blocks of buildings for new things. You're also, when you get new research, going back and rebuilding your old things, not just to be bigger, but to be better and different and more complex. And I think that's one of the fun parts about Pyanodons, is you kind of keep bouncing back and forth between upgrading the old stuff, re-implementing the old stuff, sometimes making more of what you're already making, but usually you're doing something new. And I think that's pretty fun. So, one last question I have about Pyanodons before we move on. What would you say is your favorite building, if you had to pick? And I know this is a hard question to put you on the spot.
My favorite building in Pyanodons. I guess it's the reproduction plant, because it comes with smooth jazz.
yes, it has the mood lighting and the mood music for the
so at some point in time you get the cat farms, and they come with disco music. And then by far the best utility building, of course, is going to be the logistic worm, but we're probably never going to build that because it's so far down the tech tree that we'll probably even never get to it, but yeah, the reproduction plant, definitely.
That's awesome. Yeah, so all that to say, Pyanodons is awesome. Y'all should go check it out. Definitely, if you're interested, you know, in having a very long challenge, a difficult challenge, but a rewarding one, I would check out Pyanodons. If you're looking for shorter mod packs, Pi is not it. There are some other mod packs that are great to try. I would personally recommend Nullius as one that is beatable in a reasonable amount of time, but still more complex than vanilla if you want something a little shorter. But yeah, Pyanodons is a great time sink, and something if you really want to, I don't know, just be rewarded for large builds. And it is worth noting, a lot of people do struggle with UPS towards the end game. Their updates per second sometimes lag a little. So, you know, if you have a potato computer, Pyanodons might not be for you. But, you know, that's true of a lot of big mod packs. Any last thoughts on Pyanodons before we move on to some viewer questions?
Only that I still blame not Melon.
Fair enough. Yep. Not Melon is the reason for all of your troubles, for balancing things and bad recipes. Just go yell at him in the Discord for Pyanodons. Awesome. So a couple of viewer questions that I've had over the last few weeks that I think could be interesting to get your take on as well. One viewer, Alor, mentioned that there's a lot of story and lore potential in Factorio that really hasn't been investigated at all, right? Vanilla Factorio, you're crash landed, you know, next to your spaceship, and that's it. There's zero lore, there's zero exposition, there's zero story. But what they've spoiled so far about one of the planets, Fulgora, is that there's these ruins of an ancient civilization. And what he was asking is, do you think they will or should they add any story elements to the game? Or should they keep it just kind of this vague, like, this civilization existed, but we don't know anything about it?
It's kind of interesting if you think about it. I mean, Factorio is one of those games that has no story whatsoever, yet it's being played so much by so many people. And all the things they always do is, like, they crash land on the planet and they just start harvesting everything on the planet. Like, they try to get everything processed and everything resourced. Putting a story on that is definitely going to be tricky. I mean, think of Satisfactory as well. They are also trying to make some kind of story on top of your automation game, and it's not going to be that easy. Especially once you start putting a story on top of it, people need to be able to connect to that story. Yes, I mean, you could probably imagine that maybe the Factorio guy is some kind of explorer or something like that, just going out there to figure out what's on those remote planets. Who knows?
Yeah. My thought is that they could add a little bit of almost what Outer Wilds has done. And I don't want to say too much about Outer Wilds because that is a game where spoilers will ruin the entire game for you. So I won't add spoilers. I'll just say that the story in that game is done through the lens of investigating the past, right? Rather than having a story about what's going on with you right now and your world, you kind of are uncovering a story about what's happened. And I think they could do that with like the Fulgora civilizations, where maybe there's not so much a huge story about what's going on with you right now, but maybe you find out some things about the ancient civilization, and then maybe that connects to something you find on a different planet, and then maybe that all connects together on the final planet you go to. I could see a story like that working out a little better, because then they don't have to give a ton of exposition about you as the engineer and what your role is, but more just kind of, oh, there are these cool ancient things that you're finding out.
Yeah, that could work.
One other question, and this is kind of an interesting one that I'm sure is very much opinion-based, but it's about hotkeys. Dr. Stitches was asking, like, what should be bound to a hotkey? If you could bind something to a hotkey that can't currently be bound to a hotkey, what would it be? Which ones do you never use? Like, for mod makers, how do you decide what a hotkey should be? I know in Minecraft, this is really bad. Like, a lot of hotkeys end up combating each other. And so half the game when you start a mod pack in Minecraft is just setting your hotkeys correctly.
I think the only hotkey I really use in Factorio is Q. That's the only one.
And that's a pipette, right?
That's a perpetual, yeah, because usually when you're building something, whatever you're building is most likely already close by to what you're building, so Q helps. Q just does everything for you. I mean, there's, of course, the hotkey for the jetpack, and the best key ever, C, especially if you've got nukes equipped.
Which one is that? Is that shoot?
That's just shoot on point.
Yes.
And if you've got nukes equipped, well, yeah, accidents have happened quite often.
Yeah, I saw a clip not that long ago of accidental nukage of your base.
Especially if Control C is right next to it and you just miss Control C and then you just nuke yourself, or you press Control F not entirely and then you want to look for something that contains the C and then you hear the missile going off and you go like, oh, yeah.
Have you considered rebinding shoot to a different key?
Yes, and I will not do it because it's fun.
So it's a calculated mistake.
Yep.
That's funny.
It's the expected thing that will happen.
I love it. Yeah, for me, I think hotkeys are actually really important. You know, again, I think this kind of goes with our quality of life mentality, like how you and I approach the game differently. I love to be as efficient as possible with the gameplay itself. And so, like, I don't want to have to push extra hotkeys if I can manage it. I like all the shortcuts. I like them all to be reachable with my left hand. And so I do spend quite a bit of time trying to figure out what hotkey goes where. Even recently, I realized spacebar. I don't shoot things that often. Half the time I'm playing without biters. So why would I want shoot to be bound to spacebar? I should do something more useful with spacebar. And I still haven't quite figured out what that is. I recently changed it to entering and exiting vehicles, but I still think I could do better. So yeah, I think hotkeys are a very interesting topic. And as a mod maker, I think if I had one recommendation, it would be to download a suite of mods that you think would be used alongside your mod, and then do your best to create a hotkey that either A, makes sense because the letter starts with, you know, like if you're doing a blueprint tool, the B key makes a lot of sense. But right now, B is already taken up by a lot of things. So you may have to use a random letter or shift plus a letter or control plus a letter. But whatever you do, you know, at least download some of the other mods that you would expect people to play along with your mod and try to avoid conflicts with those. Obviously, there's only 26 letters on the keyboard and shift, control, and alt. So that, you know, you end up with only so many combinations, and at some point you're going to run into conflicts. But avoiding the most common conflicts, I think, is a good thing to shoot for. Let's see. One other small question. Let's see. Oh, yeah, this is a good one specifically about Pynodons. With most automation games, the infrastructure of what you build is kind of an afterthought, right? Like the cost of the buildings themselves. Like in Vanilla Factorio, for example, an assembler is not very expensive. Even an assembler 3, once you've automated its ingredients, it's not very expensive. You never really have to worry about plopping down 20 assemblers because they're not that expensive. However, that's not true in things like Pynodons. So how do you balance the cost of infrastructure, which is belts and power poles and buildings and all the bits and bobs that you actually place into the world, against the cost of recipes that go towards things like science or consumables? What do you find is a good balance for that?
Well, infrastructure costs in Pi are still not that high. I mean, the buildings that require a lot of stuff usually also are required in the production of science and everything. So you would already have those requirements automated and you just bring them in via a train or via a bot.
Sure. I would say, though, they're definitely quite a bit higher in Pi than most other mod packs. So, for example, and I know I'm in a different stage of the game than you, so it might be true that, you know, at the stage of the game you're in, the costs aren't as large relative to what you're making. But I was just starting to make a molten salt power plant, and each of those buildings, each of the coal power plant buildings requires, I think, 100 circuits. And I'm only making, I think, about 15 circuits a minute, right? And so that's 6 minutes of circuit production per building. And so if I'm going to make a build that requires 20 of these, you know, we're talking 2 hours worth of circuit production just for my power plant. That's far more than you would find in vanilla. And I think it's interesting because when you switch to something like Pynodons, you do realize, oh, things are really expensive, but you have to change your scale in your mind. 1 minute of production in Pi is not that much because you're playing for dozens of hours, right?
Yes, and that's also usually how we go at it most of the time. I mean, if you need something, just start automating it. Even if it goes slow, you're still at least making it so you can use it. You don't really need to make certain products super duper fast because you will notice that you actually don't even need that many of them, especially if you're playing it for multiple hours at a time. But what's like an issue for like maybe making one per minute is going to be still like about 240 the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing I find interesting is that infrastructure is a cost, but it's a cost of something that's unlimited, right? Like circuits are unlimited. Technically your ore patches are limited, but in Pi, everybody cranks them up pretty big. So not really limited, but things like space aren't unlimited, right? And so, well, at least in terms of what you can traverse, you know, the bigger your base gets, the harder it is to get around your base and the further items have to travel. So space is a limited resource in the sense that if you can pack buildings together tighter, or make your build smaller, or if the building was a 5x5 building instead of a 23x23 building, then you would be able to fit more of them in. So I find something interesting that Pynodons does by making such large buildings is they do cause you to think more about space and like which direction is this belt going. In Vanilla Factorio, you don't really care if it's going left or right because it's only 15 squares either way. But in Pynodons, if you've got a belt going along 20 buildings, it might be 200, you know, units long, and it very much matters where the end of that belt ends up. And, you know, Satisfactory has some limited resources as well with things like power shards. So the infrastructure in Satisfactory, well, it all costs a relatively small amount of stuff that you can make infinite of once you've automated it. But you only get so many things, or you only get so many power slugs to make power shards out of. And so different games find different ways to, maybe they don't make the infrastructure itself very expensive, but they find other ways to kind of keep the player from just having infinite creative ability to build from the early game. And I think that's an important question to kind of ask yourself as you're designing a mod or a game, is like, which resources are unlimited, but maybe a little slower to get, but still unlimited, and which resources are actually limited, and the player cannot just make infinite of this. Any other thoughts on that, Bold, or?
Just double it.
Double it. Double it again. Yeah. Wasn't that an old Blizzard meme? Like, we doubled it and then we doubled it again or something?
Maybe. I'm not really keeping up with Blizzard.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking like 10 years ago. There was a meme at some point about that. Anyway, Bold, do you have any other big thoughts before we start to wrap up?
No, I think I'm good. I also have to go to the bathroom.
Well, it's been so awesome having you on. You know, for those that don't know, Bold Viking is part of a streaming community called Red Circuit. And a long time ago, I guess it was only like 2 years ago, I reached out to Bold Viking to ask if I could join as well. And so Bold Viking is a very special streamer to my heart, because he invited me into the Red Circuit community and helped me find a bunch of other streamers and content creators who could answer a lot of my questions. And just kind of, it's nice to have a community of people who are asking similar things and figuring out similar problems, whether it's with OBS or Twitch or YouTube or whatever. It's a lot of chaos out there, and it's good to have a community to talk with. And so I just want to thank you, Bold, for that invitation. Oh, so long ago. You've been awesome.
Oh, thank you so much for that.
Yeah. So,
and yeah, I also always like to explain stuff. I mean, if people ask me stuff, I always go like, here, let me explain it for you. And then 2 hours pass and you go like, shit, I wanted to do something else.
Yep, the curse of being helpful. But I've appreciated your inputs and everyone else at Red Circuit. So yeah, if you guys are looking for other streamers to watch, you can check out the Red Circuit group. There will be a link in the show notes, as well as you can head to Bold Viking's Twitch page or my Twitch page. And we're both part of that group in Twitch. And I think if you click on that link, it'll show you all of the streamers who are part of that group. So that's pretty cool. I know we've got some other people who play Satisfactory and some other factory games, and I'll hope to have them on the podcast as well. But yeah, shout out to a new patron for the Factory Must Grow podcast, Jonathan C. Thank you so much. And if you would like to become a patron, head over to patreon.com/crydax. That'll support both the podcast as well as my content creation on Twitch. Bold, what about you? If people would like to support you, how can they do that?
Well, of course, I think I also got a Patreon page, but I'm not really doing the Patreon game that good. But if you do want to support me on Patreon, it's, I think, just patreon.com/boldviking. But also, of course, twitch.tv/boldviking and youtube.com/boldviking. You'll find me everywhere.
Yeah,
there's another Bold on YouTube, but ignore him. He's stupid.
Yeah, there's the same for Crydax on one of the... Is it on... I don't remember
there's
which...
There's a second Crydax on Twitch, on YouTube, because you're Crydax 8 on YouTube.
Yes, that's right.
And the original Crydax has 0 subscribers and just sits there and goes like,
yep,
ah.
Yep, wonderful. Someday I hope to be able to, get him removed somehow, because he's not a real person. Or at least he doesn't do anything if he is. But all that to say, next week we'll stream the cast at the same time. Not sure if we have a guest or not yet. We'll find out. But huge thanks to you, Bold Viking, for being here. You've already talked about where people can find you on social media, so go give Bold a follow and a sub on Twitch if you don't mind. He's been going very far in Pinedons and Greg Tech, and you know, just very, very pleasurable to hang out and watch Bold Viking. He's got a great crew of Twitch viewers who are in his channel, and it's always a lot of fun. So definitely head over there. If you guys have any questions or ideas for topics or ideas for guests, you can always hit me up in the Crydania Discord, which, of course, I'll put in the show notes. Other than that, any last thoughts, Bold?
No, I'm good. I'm going to enjoy the rest of my Sunday.
Beautiful. Yes, and all of you listeners, enjoy your Sunday as well. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. And always remember, the factory must grow.